Ho, ho, ho! It's that time again, of course. Sincere Leo Cry is coming back to you this 21st of December with our day party. Oh, yes. Ye Kenya, ye Huya Saba back. We're going to be giving you some of the best jams from the early 2000s, maybe mid-2010s. You know what I mean? Because that's where all the juice was. Of course, look, the tickets are going for 150 cedis per head. All you have to do is just pull up in your best Y2K look and be prepared to jam the night away. Okay, it is starting at 5 p.m. prompt. 5 p.m. prompt till, you know what they say, mama calls. Make sure you're coming. Partners are Fikiti and GCR. We're going to have a blast, guys. Pull up, pull up, pull up to our day party. Don't say we didn't do anything good for you. It's the premier Christmas party. Sincerely Accra, our day party is happening inside Chado at the Cube GCR. Put it in your maps. Pimpna, nana, pimpna, nana, si, anako, bongo, ta, bongo. Well, yes, indeed. It is time. And this is not any Marakari thing. No, guys. Yes, indeed. Welcome to the people's favorite podcast. It is Sincerely Your Cry, and my name is Joseph NT, host. Always doing the most. I want to give a quick shout out to the Gold Coast Report. That's the number one podcast hosting network in the whole Ghana. And of course, my co-creator and producer, Mr. Kwame Asante Ofori, holding us down on the ones and twos. Hey! Oh, yes, indeed. I was just going to go over this whole yes, indeed thing again and again and again because I'm just like, hey, it's a new dawn, people. It's a new dawn. If you're listening to this, yeah, we have a new president elect. And yeah, very interesting times, honestly. Very interesting times, I must say. Election day happened, guys. And just like, yeah, we're just going to jump right into what, you know, trending news and whatnot, because it is what it is. Election day, you know, I've just had a lot on my plate recently. So I woke up very early, went to vote with the family, like around 9 o'clock. My polling station is literally like the smoothest ever. There's literally nobody there. You go, as soon as you get there, you're voting. You're not standing in any line. So it was like a 5 minute affair, you know, just make sure everybody voted. And then we came back home and I fell asleep. I woke up later that day, almost evening time. And I looked at Twitter for a little bit, you know, I saw one or two things going on. You know, people were being vigilant at the different centers. I think I saw a clip of like John Tumelo or something like that. And that was basically, I hopped off. This time around, I really was not interested in like the counting and the keeping up to date region by region. It just wasn't for me. So, I switched on, I think was it Netflix? I finally watched Kid Cudi's animation Intergalactic. I think that's what I don't know. I didn't expect it to be about a love story. But it was a very relatable story. It was like, bro, that's what I was watching, you know, and I went to sleep. And Sunday morning, my mom like wakes me up and says, you know, NDC has won. I was like, oh, really? I was like, okay, cool. And then I went on and I just, you know, I saw that literally the whole map was green. I think it was Ashanti, Easting and Northeasting that voted NPP. Everywhere else was NDC. An overwhelming majority of votes. I'm not even going to lie. In my mind, I was like, whoever wins, it's going to be a tight race. That is just how I felt it was going to go. But this is completely different from what I expected. It's very different. Like, the overwhelming sweep is like actually very interesting to see. It also does lead, you know, like it tells you that people really were fed up. You know what I mean? And if this means anything at all, it's just like, you know, you need to care a little bit. Like, you can't do whatever you want. And then, you know, it's like you also, because like, let's look at the amount of times like where, you know, questions have been asked, things have been said, and the kind of responses that we get. You know what I mean? It's like, It was a lot, you know. So, I mean, I was just really surprised. I don't know why, for some reason, I just felt like, you know, Ghana 4 year, maybe I like send a little corner, you were complaining about, you know, I this is a surprise to me, guys. Like, especially because I feel like maybe if I was following, I would have seen from the beginning, but like I was not. And I really like, I don't know. But look, I just want to say the real winner in all of this is robust music. Robust music. Someone in fear Kim Promise, no. Yes, the Kim Promise look alike. He's the winner in all of this, if you ask me. Because even before like the whole elections, I saw that he was like, hey, he was with Sharaf Mahama dancing. You know, he was entering big, big NDC places and dancing and things like that because he had done this song. You know, like, I just feel like your man has been, you know, he's been grinding, and he got a big. Interesting developments happening. I saw Khalid J did a live stream on Twitter. Stay by Plan featured. I saw Alma Berland. They're very interesting. Kudos to you. You know, I think I saw a tweet or something about it happening beforehand. I don't know where and then I saw like snippets of it. That's very interesting. Like, just like, it's not about Ghana. No, but I like when we have like some of these things happening here. It's very like diverse, creative things happening. It was cool. I didn't log on though. I don't know what they were talking about. I think I also saw Prince Ganaku there, but very interesting to see. I saw a tweet where somebody was talking about how, you know what I mean? Like estate Twitter, pass through to contribute to the numbers. Cause, no. I saw a tweet that was saying, Aben Kwan Twitter president, organize live stream, but based on the numbers, then estate people too did something like that. And I was just like, really? I don't like Kali J. Aben Kwan Twitter president, sir. Me, I'm for the sir, mommy. And for the sound, mommy moon. But anyway, John DeMello won. John DeMello won. I saw a video of him crying, holding back tears at church. I mean, yo, John, like, listen, if John DeMello does not cry over this victory, I don't know what else y'all want a man to do. That man was in the university halls listening to rappers. Up and coming. Do you know what it takes to listen to up and coming rappers, especially people at university level? You know, people that like believe that they can really blow. Like, man, John DeMello, you really. I saw he said, oh, this is never going back to MPP. All right, all the best with that. You know, all the best to those involved. Another highlight, Malidia's dance at the final rally. Girl, what the hell? I mean, she was rocking some sambas though. I'm saying, Malidia, I wouldn't even samba. I can't get the dance out of my head, guys. Like, you know, she did this thing, and like at the end of it, it's like she points, like she does this final one where it's like, and one, no, my area. My good friend Wendy was like, no, Ajua Safu would never. Girl, Ajua Safu, let me say that video of Ajua Safu dancing on stage, the only reason why she didn't break it down and give you guys a full twerk was because, now I'm paying for Tinichi. Usubu says she was just a second away from flipping over to the other side. Hey, oh, we'll see fear me. Yeah. Another big trending news was, of course, Ifeodo tweeted, I think 5 days to the election, that Bamia was going to be the president. You know, I think alluding to the fact that it had been revealed to her or something like that. So a lot of people were laughing, of course. Ifeodo, yes, CAE. Revelation, so you know, a lot of laughs and stuff. I think I saw she did a tweet. The first tweet I saw, she did a PK. I think she did a PK and then the eye emoji. I don't know. And then the next one was when she did a tweet where she was talking about how, like, I think she said she saw what she saw. Sometimes you get revelations wrong or something, like something to that effect. So I honestly thought that was what it was gonna be. And then after that, I see the Apeki video where she's like in a cloth. Like people were just laughing at her the whole day. I think she's doing what she can to get through it, because the thing is that she's gonna tweet regardless. And if she doesn't like just tweet through it, I said, more try some silence, you know. What's your CNC? She's gonna do what she's gotta do. Another one, Ursula lost her seat. The people in Dansoman were viciously jubilating. And they say, me call market and Napano. And the market women at Dansoman market were so excited. And I remember, I was like, hey, and then I'm a person, Mahama, Papa. And we're like, oh, and yeah, no, Ursula, you know, I'm like, wow. Because Ursula's been on this seat for a long time. And I really thought Dansomanians. Not Dansomanians. I really thought Dansomanians really like love this babe because she's like, she's dead, unshakable. You know what I mean? Da grafa. But Ursula's gone. A host of people have lost their seats. I mean, this is very interesting. We are really in the era of a zucchini, baby. We're really in an era of zoom zoom. Like, it's just. I don't know. It's very interesting for me. Like, the whole thing is very interesting to see. I think that moving forward, we're going to see a different trend in our elections. I think Ghanaians are kind of like waking up to the power that they have. And I only hope that, you know, our leaders will take note and please take us seriously. And try to do things for the betterment of all of us. You know what I mean? Because see, foreign policy for all over the world. Canada has shut down their Canada. Omwa prison. They said, hey, all of you, come to Canada. They were giving you guys free visas and things. Now they've closed it. Trump swabas. So see, immigration, the tightest. So countries everywhere are starting to, you know, clamp down their borders. They're really not welcoming people to come over as much. So please, I saw that 1 Man 1000, he tweeted about Mohammed's first 120 days of social contract. And I went to look inside because I'm like, yeah, make sure. So they may not cancel, you know, first 120 days, no. You be who say it happened. Because they will say it happened. You were right. Say, you be who did it. And so, I mean, it's about, how many are these? It's about 25. Let me see. 26. I'm not going to read all of them. I'm just going to read some of them. So the first one is nominate within the first 14 days the complete list of cabinet ministers for parliamentary approval. Number two, constitute the leanest and most efficient government under the Fourth Republic in my first 90 days in office. Leaders, just so members, ni deputy ministers, ni then as a model since here, but so leanest and most efficient government under the Fourth Republic in my first 90 days. Number three, establish a robust code of conduct and standards for all government officials. Our code of conduct, no, mu de betray, I'm a auntie, as I say, please, no chewing of ballot papers and running around. Please, it's our code of conduct, no. Number four, hold a national economic dialogue to discuss the true state of the economy and prepare a homegrown fiscal consolidation program to guide the budget. Honestly, please, we are not here for long talks. I beg you, we are not here for long talks. All the talks that you need to be doing, have them where you need to be having them, in your boardrooms, in your meeting rooms, and discuss them and come up with the policies. Mamu koye bibia afina mo be sitting fee. Fee, Adriani fee, BBI, because my friend, dialogue, national economic dialogue, please. Anyway, media, I'm just saying, it's giving, tea allowance. Number five, within my first 90 days in office, scrap the following draconian taxes to alleviate hardship and ease the high cost of doing business. E-levy, COVID levy, 10% levy on bet winnings, and emissions levy. Okay. six, within my first 90 days in office, review taxes and levies on vehicles and equipment imported into the country for industrial and agricultural purposes. Number seven, commence drafting needed legal amendments and prepare for implementing the 24-hour economy policy under the office of the president. This is my breath means being kind of okay. 26 is out there. But these are some of the things, you know, he said he's going to do in the first 120 days of office. I think 90 days, hey, he said 90 days make a month debut. 31st days make a month. And see, my man, 120 days, so 90 days is 3 months, right? So 90 plus 30 is 4 months. It's the first quarter plan. Guys, first quarter plan. By the end of January, February, March, April, by the end of April, some of these things should have, in fact, all of these things should have taken place. Okay, I didn't read all 26. So find it and know what you're finna do anyway. Guys, listen, it's a new dawn. The party is back. And we potentially have new leadership. I know a lot of you are going to be, you know, feeling really up to it this December. You're going to be out here having fun and chilling and whatnot. I just want to remind you, make sure you're doing this safe. Everybody should just be very careful. You know, in as much as you are drinking, you are jubilating, you are happy, please make sure you make it to the next year that you're happy about. Call a ride hailing app from place to place. Okay, if you know you're going to go out, you're going to be drinking, you're going to be doing this, you're going to be doing that, please don't drive, I beg you. There's a lot of people talking about the sharp curve at the end of the road linking, cantonments to East Legon over there, you know. Please, let's just be very careful. Let's not let, you know, NJ, and then Kwanye, I mean, videos, I mean, motor riders, and let's not do too much. But if you're going to do much, do it and do it safely. What do I say? Yeah, call a ride hailing app, you know, designate a driver, whatever it is you got to do. Just don't, you know. Anyway, and I hope to see you at our party 21st. Yes. Ewo, Spin Takes the Cube. Ebe a crab affair. Ebe a noise. Ebe a noise. Ebe a noise. Makati 3 times. Exactly. Anyway, guys, so on this episode, we're going to be delving a little bit into the nightlife. You know, we want to see what nightlife has been giving. Yeah, we want to see what nightlife. I mean, you know, given I've been doing a little traveling myself, I've spent some time in Johannesburg, and I've just come back from a trip from Nairobi. And I must tell you, the nightlife is very, very active. There's a lot of diversity. The table culture is literally non-existent. Like, in Nairobi, you can get a table with just a bottle of cider. And who here saw about so I do say a cider, beer, water. When your table, you get it, and everybody's active, everybody's dancing, everybody's like hype from beginning to the motherfucking end. And so I was just really like, you know, it was just interesting to experience some of these other places. And when we talk about nightlife, there's a man that has been taking over, there's a man that has been on the scene and is constantly asking people the one question: are you mad? Are you mad? I'm sorry, because I feel like I was just so loud. Somebody that was listening on like earphones or something, they'll be like, oh my God, why did he just shout like that? But anyway, we're talking to Kojo Manuel. Yes. And I'm really excited for you guys to listen to this interview. We're going to talk about his career, how he got into it, and also, you know, what he thinks about the nightlife and things to expect this December. So buckle up, guys. It's going to be a good one.
Come give me casala, but it's too sweet like a mala. Me, I know the shawarma, got a lot of bitches in my corner. Make I give you ta-ta-ta, no the worry, I'm a maka. Hope you know go jaguana, anywhere we enter na massacre. Show me, when nobody notice. Make we keep it on a low-key, make we keep it on a low-key. Show me, when nobody notice. Make we keep it on a low-key, make we keep it on a low-key.
Your biggie bum bum is a criminal. My lady, yeah, your backside is no minimal. Oh, minimal, yeah. Baby, no listen to somebody, they are disturbing you. No, they don't know what is in this year, but they, oh.
Show me, when nobody notice. We could keep it on a low-key, we could keep it on a low-key.
Okay, so on today's episode, we're going to be talking to somebody who, you know, Yeka lady of the night, it means something else. Yeka man of the night, I don't know what that means, but I mean. But yeah, we're going to be talking to so many titles. MC, sometime ago actor, hype man, radio personality, aspiring, I don't know if he's, no, TV personality. It's none other than, you know, the one everybody... Every time you see that, are you mad? It's Kojo Manuel, ladies and gentlemen.
Yo, Charlie, thank you.
Welcome.
So, I won't shake your hand by far.
Oh, please. You can always move around.
No, I'm a very big fan of the podcast. So I'm very
thank
happy.
You.
And like I said off air, I'll say on air too. Hey. My Saturday mornings. Oh. I know they take give people. I know they really mess with. Like, I have to really mess with you. I want to use that word. Like
you.
On a high level. I don't know if you can see. I look like I just woke up.
It's fine. Yeah. I mean, everybody knows that you don't sleep.
Well,
yeah,
the job is a job.
Yeah, and yeah. I also don't know what to do with compliments. I don't like compliments, so I'm just gonna.
It's good to know.
I'm going
to
move on.
So
right,
like, no, I'm not good actually,
yeah. When I was like doing my research, I realized like, oh, I think we're like, yeah, so there's something over there. But anyway, I know you went to Opokuwari. And
I'm already regretting that.
I just want to know, what were you like in high school? Because, you know, for me, I was the president of the drama club. I was in the choir. I feel like the building blocks of all the things that I do right now, it was evident when I was in high school. But I also know people who, they've done a complete 360 from, 180.
Yeah, I think 180.
180.
Yeah, 360 is back. You're going back to where you were.
Oh my God, me and Matt. Yeah, from who they used to be. So I just want to know, what kind of person were you in Opokuwari?
I think for the 3 years I was in Opokuwari school, about 2 years was me being very, very quiet, and I was almost docile. I was like introvert. Naturally, I'm an introvert.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so I think it was in my final year. I think second year into final year, I started to like get interest in certain things, but I never actually did it. So I was, I don't know if it's still running, but I created a literary group in Opokuwari school.
Like a book club?
So I didn't want to call it drama club.
Wait, literary group is not book club, it's drama club.
It's drama club.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so wait, you were acting in Opokuwari?
I didn't even have enough people. So it's like, I pick the form ones and the form twos and then sort of teach them how to act when I hadn't even acted in my life before.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that was the first one. I was also part of the SRC. I was the zonal secretary. So it's like we have the regional executives and then we come before the individual schools.
Like Kumasi zone or something.
Yeah, so we have Ashanti Regional Students Representative Council.
Hey, wow.
And I was a zonal secretary. So we had, I think, 4 zones. We've divided Ashanti region into 4 zones. So of one of those zones, I was the secretary.
Hey, the student politics in government schools is serious.
So it makes you go and see through certain things. So I think the SRC culture is the same as the one we have in parliament.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But then when it comes to everything I do right now, it was University of Ghana.
Oh, yeah, I know. G. Nelson.
Yeah, so all my mates from Opokuwari School, when they hear, you know, we have numbers.
Yes.
So I'm BG 430. Okay. Right? So B, the number B, B for ball, G for gold. And then 430.
Okay.
So I'll be.
Is
one
that
of
your
those
index groups. Number?
That's not the index number. But in Opokuwari school is like a special number that everybody has. Like you assigned, it's assigned to you. There are people that I know to this day. I don't know their actual names.
You know them by their numbers.
One of my closest friends in school back then. He's not even in Ghana now. His number was BG123. So imagine being called 123. Like that's
wow.
Yeah, 430 and all of that.
I see. I don't think I know any other school that does this, but
no other school. So for me in school, I was very, you know, calm and introvert. But then I started to come out of my shell. When I was the senior, but even that one, I didn't go all out. And came to University of Ghana, and even that, it took me getting to about level 300 before I even started holding mic anywhere or doing anything like that. Okay.
Yeah. All right, before we talk about your G. Nelson hosting days, which is literally where you started, you said in an interview that when you were younger, you came to understand that public speaking was something that you were interested in.
Yeah.
And you thought that meant you should be a lawyer.
Yeah, actually still like really get excited when I see, especially people I know.
Becoming lawyers,
it excites me. Because I always fancied like the fact that you can use words. To, you know, win arguments and, you know, bring justice and all of that.
Is it because of the movies you watch? Because a lot of the lawyers say that the court scenes are not like that.
Oh, it's way sadder than it seems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you wanted to be a lawyer. And then at which point did you realize that, no, law was not for you and that you needed to act, the public speaking meant pursuing
something else? So to really answer your question, right, about public speaking, it was in church. Right? It was in church.
You always start in church and then you end up in the streets.
Yeah, it was in church. I was that person that if sermon they go on, like they will be like, make somebody read the Bible. I was one of the people they would point. Like they would point because I would always stand up and read the thing the way the pastors or the elders
what kind
that are
church. Is it charismatic or is
I'm taking you where I don't want
you don't want to go there.
So I'm Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, that's fine. Do you know, I was in the Latter-day Saints Church for like 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
But it wasn't an internship or something. You entered and you left.
Oh, no, my family was just trying something out. Yeah.
So I still feel like I have those values in me. So we had to even sometimes go on outreach and, you know, enter people that my house, like how Jehovah's Witnesses do.
So you were preaching?
Yeah. I mean, we don't do it as much as Jehovah's Witnesses do, but then we would go and then talk to people. And I was in a choir at some point.
Which part was it? Bass?
The problem be say, me, myself, and the whole choir was confused on whether I should be a bass singer or a tenor singer.
Hey.
Because my voice was not heavy enough for a bass singer, but I always pick the melodies of the bass singers.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I was always confused in a choir. So I mean, I worked myself out at some point.
I was a tenor singer.
I think tenor was my calling, but I just wasn't focused.
Oh, I see. So wait, that was in high school, right?
That was high school days, okay.
I see. Wow, that's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're in Jean Nelson, and you said that one of the people that fought for you to ever get on a stage, God rest his soul, is a friend called T-Bag.
Yeah. This is a story that for a long time I couldn't say without becoming teary.
Oh, okay.
Because you know, there's something, it's also part of the reason why I always try to join mental health conversations.
Mm.
Because there were things that I had to like grow up years later to come and realize the impact it actually had on me. Because back then, nobody was really giving me the chance. Even though I'd got an opportunity to do like the Leavers Dinner, that was literally the first event I did when I was in 300 or 400 year group for Jean Nelson. That was the first group that finished from Jean Nelson.
Oh, okay.
So that was literally probably the first proper event at Jean
Nelson. That you did?
That I was forced to.
MC, you were forced to?
Yeah, because the organizer was an MC and he thought he could organize the event and MC it.
MC at the same time, and
it wasn't giving,
as they would say.
So that was my roommate and he forced me to go and MC because he was in a fix. He ironed my clothes, and that's my senior. He ironed my clothes and everything. And I was
In university, we don't have senior and junior.
No, but I always have that respect for him. If you're in 400 and you're older than me, obviously, right. Even if it's a year, like in high school, like you'd be my senior. True. So I still have that mentality.
Okay.
So when I did that, that's when everything sparked. It started everything. So me myself, I wasn't very, you know, crazy about the whole idea of or doing it, because I wanted it, but I felt like I was too shy to do it. Yeah. I think I missed your question.
No. So I wanted to know the story about T-Bag.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I knew I forgot
people
something.
Were not giving you the opportunity.
So,
but he fought for you.
Yeah, so there's like two people.
Is he called T-Bag because of the character from Prison Break?
I actually don't remember though.
Okay.
I don't remember. I wouldn't say I was part of his core team. There were what's their name? Tap Out or something. Why does it feel like it's been 100 years?
He's about to mention all the cliques that were in UG.
So
Ticket, you know, 300.
You know things. So. So T-Bag, I think, saw me do the Leavers Dinner.
Okay.
And then when I think it was time for a certain activity on campus, and they went to hire an MC from outside. And I was like, why are they here? You guys don't want to use me, because now they have sparked that enthusiasm, that interest in me. So they had to explain to me that, this is a very special event where we have dignitaries, you know, the lectures and stuff coming, and we don't think we go fit put you there. And I was like, why? So it was T-Bag that was like, if you go bring somebody from outside, then we'd rather help the people here grow.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the person that was insisting that whether you're bringing an MC or not, we still have one MC that is going to be here to either be the co-host or just host the thing for us. So I feel like he was the person that afforded me the space to really explore and grow, even before people like Edem Agbana, who is with the NDC right now, running for MP4, I think one constituency around the Volta region or something.
Mm-hmm.
He was the SRC president at the time. He's also another person that gave me opportunities. But T-Bag's own was different because he took it very personal.
Okay.
Because the likes of Edem and even Echo House, being involved in Echo House, all came up because it's like, we've heard there's this boy, the MC, but we don't know if he's all that good or he's there yet.
Mm.
T-Bag's own was like, he has never done it before. I saw him try to do it once and I think we should do it. And that's like a lot of belief.
Yeah.
But the sad thing is, my last conversation with T-Bag was an argument.
Oh, wait. Did he pass away whilst you guys were in school?
Yeah, he passed away during Hall Week.
Oh. Oh, okay.
So the plans we had for artist night and all the jams on the weekend didn't happen because I think the accident happened on a Tuesday.
Oh, accident.
Yeah. So he was a motorbike, like he used to ride the bike.
Oh boy.
And one of the gates, I think the one that's close to Noguchi, was the one he was using, and the car was driving in the opposite direction. Mm. Or he was driving in the opposite direction, I don't know. But then it happened when the whole week had just started.
Oh wow.
And then, you know, normally we either do the launch of the whole week on a Saturday or the Sunday. So I think they did it on the Monday. Saturday or the Monday. So I think when they did it, they brought an outside MC.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I was like, I thought like I was going to be called for these things. And I think that's what kept my immaturity in a lot of ways.
Okay,
because I lashed out at him that, Charlie, why are they here? You know, go use me. This and that, this and that. And then the next day, the morning, I hear that he has an accident. I think I was on my way to lectures when I heard that information. I didn't have enough information. So I was like, when I come back, they were like, okay, then tomorrow. I called them and they were like, tomorrow we'll go. But then by the time I came back from lectures and the first batch of the executives and the whole people had gone to see him, they came back and were like, nah, nobody's going to go see him. Nobody's allowed in there because what we saw is something that we shouldn't have even seen in the first place because it was that bad. I think they tried to sustain him for about 2 or 3 days. And then he passed.
Wow, that's very
so
that's very sad.
I think it made me realize that people's intentions are very important.
Mm.
Sometimes they may not portray the way you want it to be portrayed because we are all different people. Because he did not go like, I've done this for you, I've done that for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But when he passed, then through word of mouth and the other executives, I realized how much he fought for me.
Mm.
And it almost broke me because it felt like, someone was fighting for you. And you are fighting that person.
Yeah.
So it made me try not to be too entitled when it comes
and not
to
expect too much from people.
And
right?
Also back to compliments, not accepting compliments very well. Because I psyched my mind to not be so excited about compliments.
Mm.
Because I also know that sometimes people go fanfool you. They will tell you things they think you want to hear so that they can end a conversation or make a conversation go some other way or
get something out of
it. So sometimes you say that they're like, thank you. Yeah, but I'm not trying to have this conversation because in my head, I need to feel like there's always more to be done. I shouldn't get to that point where I feel like me, I reach and there's nothing else to achieve. Then I can't.
I feel like the way I've been coming across the word fanfooling so much this year now more than ever, I understand what it means. But I wanted to find out, you know, for someone like me, I'm also an introvert. Branching into doing stuff like this, I think it was easier because I'm recording and it's just me. But you were breaking out and doing live hosting.
Yeah.
So what was that like? Because I get it. When I talk about an introvert, they're like, it's not possible. But guys, when the camera comes on, I do what I need to do when it's off.
When it's off, if you see me like in the mornings after the club or big events like that, it's not a very nice. Like I'm just
I'm
there.
I'm not
like,
a morning person at all.
I don't even want to hear music in my house. Like don't play music. I've heard enough is Kempalutae for you to come and play.
I pick it,
you understand? Because wherever you go, I hear loud music.
And you are close to the speakers all the time.
I'm on stages all the time. I'm in the clubs all the time. I'm on radio every day or like every weekday. There's studio speakers here, big concert speakers here.
Yeah.
Don't come to my house and be loud.
My God, it's true. Yeah, but how did you break out of like, because it's live. You know, when you are live, you can't really make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
So how was that starting out?
I think I just found a sweet spot that worked for me. So I always say that when people are trying to make it in the field, it's all right to copy the people that have come before you. But finding your identity is very, very important.
Mm.
So I would watch that back in the day, Chris Atto. I think I saw you interviewed him.
Yeah.
I was very excited about it. Watching him and doing his thing. And I'm like, I go really like Duam. And then when I realized that you actually read from a teleprompter or like they give you a script and you have to chew it and come and say it, I realized that wasn't really my thing.
So
I had to find a way between, let me understand what you're selling and I'll deliver it my way. Once I'm in that zone and you trust me enough to deliver it, I'm fine. There are times where I've been on stage and I'm entering the stage and I have no idea what I'm going to say. But when I started, I just found some sort of, should I say therapy in there? Because when you're an introvert and as African men as we are, we are not allowed to say certain things. So sometimes when the pressure comes to your top, you need to release it somehow. Yeah. And for me, at that point in my life, emceeing became that thing because in those hours, I wasn't worried about
none of your problems.
Like what family they talk, mm-hmm. how much is in my bank account or whatever. Like, I'm happy. So I remember making this statement that my friends would make fun of me for a very long time that I don't think I should be paid for my job because it's like free therapy for me.
Bruh.
But right now, nah, please don't bring that.
No, but I can totally relate to that because, you know, it's like you enjoy it so much and you get to play a character of a sort. Like, it's not like that's not the real you, but you don't walk around in your everyday life saying, are you mad? You know, no. But when you're on stage, you get to like, just escape from everything.
I think it's like an alter ego or something.
I think
it's
so.
Like an alter ego.
It's just a different
version. So I named my Maniyo. So that's where the Maniyo is from.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's my alter ego. That's a very active side. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, you know, I've been quite, I would say been, not so much anymore, but I was quite active in the nightlife scene. I saw you. Especially when we were doing Off The Top, when we were starting the podcast as well, we had to always go out and do Vox Pop. So I used to be out a lot. And I remember, you know, seeing you. And one of the things that I always admire about some of the creatives, that's a funny thing, some of the creatives that we see now who are doing so well, for a lot of people, they're like, I always saw the Oba dubbing.
Hey.
But the hustle, like, Manuel's been out here for years.
Yeah.
I know you were a copywriter at Echo House between
Which kind of game you did?
No, but that's crazy. So, I was a copywriter too.
Oh, so yes. So this is how I joined the co-house. They needed writers for Cool Peeps.
Okay.
And I wrote articles to be one of the writers for Cool Peeps. And that's how I came to be a part of Echo House. Oh. And even with that, big shout out to Popsicle. Popsicle was one of the first Echo people to realize that, oh, you're a new member and I've seen you holding the mic somewhere. Echo House does a lot of events like that. That will help you. So be a part of this and it might help you.
Oh.
Fast forward, when I was done with school, like even if, let's say, I finished my exams, my final exam at the university, 1st May.
Mm-hmm.
By 7th May, I started working at Echo House.
Was that a national service?
No, because I actually have a diploma in archives administration, which means I did my service before I came to do my degree.
Oh, and then you did information studies.
I did information studies.
Okay.
Are you about to shock me with that one?
Oh, no, I wasn't. No, because I was actually going to ask what archives administration is because I thought that you did archives. I'm like, what the hell?
I don't know
that?
What we are doing with that course in Ghana, but yeah.
But why? Okay, we're just going to move on.
No, I like the course. I just don't think it's very practical for us right now.
In this country, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's because we should be moving a bit further than, you know, records management with books and stuff, you know?
Oh.
And shelves.
That's what archives management is.
So we learned that, and I think in the last semester or last year, then they started to teach us the computer aspects, like database and stuff. But then we learned more about that in information studies on during degree.
Oh, okay.
But then it's like the whole course is still centered around more or less how to keep records. And these records are books and old art, you know? So it's like in your final year that you really get into like the database management and all those things. And I feel like the whole course should be about that in this day and age. You know?
I see.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, you've pretty much, honestly, every spot that I know, you are always there. And maybe this is a stupid question, but do you do like auditions or interviews to host, like, you know, like a From Back, Mood Buy and things? Or do they just call you and say, oh, we've seen you come? Or you go and say, I want to work and then, okay, come and stand here. Let's see how I just want to know, what is it like getting the gigs? Because the stage gigs, I get it. Shatawales and whatever. But like hosting From Back,
particular,
Mood
like,
Bad.
So I think the only collab the only spot I actually approached to work with was Crystal. That was back in the day. That was the first club I ever entered.
Crystal. Oh my God. Memory.
Yeah, that was the first club I ever entered in my like as an MC.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the first club I ever entered. So that was the only place I actually applied to work. I think I worked at Carbon. Oh, Carbon. Okay. Big shout out to Sister Debbie. Debbie was the person that called me and was like, quit your 9 to 5 because I have a gig for you. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, nah, I still want to work at Echo House. So that's how I got into Carbon. And there was an actual audition.
What did you do for Carbon? Audition?
Yeah, they play music and you should hype and let's see. There was a guy that came to do poetry.
I'm sorry.
There was a guy that came to do poetry for real. Like poetry, like, yeah, like.
As an MC in the evening.
In the club.
I don't know what I want
to. I'm not going to lie. It was kind of fire. Just didn't fit the club.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. But then it's like, as much as it was impressive to watch him do the thing, when you remember that we are standing in a club and we are auditioning for the spots in a club, it made it funny.
Of course. Like, honestly, even this thing, if I went and then they said, oh, we are playing music hype and I was even good, I think I would not be able to take it seriously. I would laugh.
I think there was like, we were four people. And DJ Sam was the DJ playing, and then where they give you a mic, and other people are standing there.
And so they're also watching you.
They're also watching you.
Why can't they go out? So that it's just one pair.
So after the audition, that's when I got that gig. But I think after that, I haven't had to, between Crystal and Carbon.
People those just are the only call place. You.
Yeah. No. And then also, let me also be very honest. And I told one MC this thing like yesterday, that your ability to spot an event or a scheme that is promising or know what they are doing is very, very important to how high you can climb. Like, for example, me being on this podcast is because I've watched the thing and I'm like, I like what they're doing. And if I go day top, I go excited. You understand? It's the same way I have been a part of shows like Afrofuture, like when it was Afrochella.
Yeah.
From the very first one that Ebony performed, I've been on.
Polo Club, right?
Polo Club. Yes. I was one of the MCs. We were like 7 or 8 MCs. Efia was one of the MCs and other people. And Dirty Rave, Manifestivities, when I got on, is like, no matter how small the thing is, if I realize that the people working on it are very, very focused and their ideology aligned with mine, I don't mind reaching out.
Mm.
But to be very honest, I haven't done that in a while.
Though. Of course not.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you blow no be now.
Oh, I beg you.
Yeah, right now, there's no... Come on, global citizen.
Have a conversation with my bank account first.
Oh, please. No, it's also because the economy is, you know...
I feel like
the honest truth is that a lot of us are doing hard work and... In different settings, we should be comfortable.
True.
It's just the economy.
True.
But yeah, I want to talk about Global Citizen. I went to Global Citizen, and when I heard your voice, I remember, I don't know who I was standing with, but I just said, Emmanuel. I said, Emmanuel.
Why are you shocked?
No, like, it was a mixture of surprise, pleasant surprise, and like being very proud.
Yeah.
Because it's like, no, Global Citizen was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
The production and everything was a big deal. And, you know, they had the girl from Black Panther there.
Yeah.
So me already, I was like, okay, this video, they'll bring outside people.
Yeah.
So when I saw you on there, I was like, this is a big stage.
To be honest, Global Citizen was one of those ones where I felt like it was a mixture of me wanting to do it and people who didn't even know me fighting for me to do it.
Okay.
Because I think at a point there was a conversation around whether they even needed a hype man. So the conversation wasn't about, oh, like we have these 5 or 10 hype men and we don't know which one to pick. The hype man was not even on the cards at some point of the conversation. And I think when I saw what they'd done in South Africa and other countries, I was like, yo, I need to be on this. But you know, the funniest thing is I did that whole event on an empty stomach. Because the night before was the night that the Usher incident.
Right.
Where I met Usher, and Usher was like, you were dope. He walked up to the stage to tell me that I was dope. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
Forgetting the next day hard work, because we left from back like almost 7 a.m.
Mm.
And we had to start a show at 3.
Yes. So early.
Yeah. And it's Ghanaians. Majority of the people are Ghanaians. So when we have conversation about events, you know why they're finding me. Majority of the people that worked on Global Citizen were Ghanaians.
Well.
But then we stuck to the time.
Well.
And the production was so amazing that, do you know that like they gave me 3 hours, right? You have 3 hours from 3 to 6. And then I was like, and I offered to do the space in between the performances.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, yeah, we've already agreed on how much we are paying you. So if you want to do that, that's cool. But I think they were a little skeptical till we started, sound check earlier before, and then they came back and they had allocated time, 5 minutes between Stormzy and this person, 10 minutes in between. And there was a point where there was a glitch, and I don't think a lot of people realized. In the afternoon, there was a problem with the lights that was hanging at the top of the stage. And they brought it down to fix it. When they brought it down to fix it, they actually accounted for that time.
People, have you seen?
Anyway, they accounted for that time.
Somebody told me that it's budget. Like, if you don't have the money, things will... No. Honestly, and thank you, because I was going to ask about, like, how working with them was, but you've literally spoken about that. No, that was a big deal.
It was... And the stage... Do you know that, like, the stage, if you're being very honest, if you walk from the left side all the way to the right side and the walkway there, and you go come back, you go your junction, come back like three times.
I hope you were counting your steps. It was a very big stage.
Oh, like, you see, gaining weight was not a problem for me for like 2 months, 3 months, because the kind of energy, and it was hot. I was sweating. Yes. I bought multiple outfits, but then even that one wasn't enough because at every point, and you can't relax. I think it was probably one of the proudest moments. And I like where my headspace, like what headspace I was in, because I always thought I'd be nervous. For some reason, I was so ready to do
it. You're comfortable on stage. So I don't, even though I've done stuff where I've not eaten, even right now, I've not eaten today.
I think I went to buy a burger when Asha was about to come on stage. That's when I went down there, and I was standing there waiting for the burger where everybody was buying. And the people would just see me and be like, excuse me, are you the person that was on stage?
That's right now.
And I was like, no.
I forgot which artist jumped on Asha to hug him.
I saw a majority of those things after. I did die. Water served me. And you know, they provided us with water, but then when you're hungry, you're hungry.
We Stay Real is more than just a slogan. It is a promise. At Thicker Tea House, we use fresh ingredients, from farm to straw boba, real fruit to house-made syrups, loose leaf tea, and real milk. No preservatives, no nasties, just pure natural deliciousness in every sip. Besties, we are more than just amazing bubble tea. The Thicker Tea House is a place to connect with friends, enjoy your finger-licking snacks, and a serene green space. So immerse yourself in the ultimate bubble tea experience. Open your favorite apps, ride-sharing, or menu finder delivery app, and enter Thicker Tea House, F-I-K-A, Tea House, you can spell it, to get directions, order a ride, or have your new favorite bubble tea and snacks delivered straight to you. Thicker Tea House. We Stay Real.
So one of the things that you've also become very popular for is caps and basses. Is it bass or basses?
Caps and bass. Caps, like, and bass. As in the sound, the bass.
I go to a very local gym inside Nansoman, and every time they are playing, are you there? I'm like, what? So I remember one time I went to, and I think it's also a podcast, eh?
It's not. So we uploaded it as a podcast because at that time we couldn't get on Apple Music.
Because when I check, I usually check, you know, the podcast stats and things.
Yeah.
And I started seeing it there. And you were up there.
Yeah,
up there. Like, a lot of people are listening to you guys.
Yeah.
I know that came around during COVID.
Yeah.
Because YFM was doing something called Party Pressure.
Yeah.
And Loft reached out to you and asked you to do it. And you first didn't want to do it because you felt like you didn't want to be tied down to one DJ.
Let me clarify that.
Okay, do the clarification. Okay.
Regardless, what you just said is true.
Yeah.
No, but then the issue wasn't Loft.
I don't think it was Loft.
I understood
what you said.
Yeah.
You didn't want it to be like, one DJ, because you're doing stuff with other people. So what changed your mind?
So the main reason why I said that was... I had started something called the Playhouse Mix.
Okay.
Where I would call three DJs, they would submit their mixes, I'll put it together. So it's like 30 minutes, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you get an hour and a half mix. I replay it whilst in the studio and I hype over it.
Okay, okay.
So I would ask this DJ, I will send for you 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they don't send it. Mm. But then when I asked Loft was the quickest.
Mm.
He will send it back like that and it's fire.
Okay.
Right. So he's in like two of those. So it was off of that he suggested that we do it.
Okay.
So then I was like, the whole idea of me doing it is to have three DJs and not one.
Oh, okay.
Because it was intentional for me, because there was a point where people just knew me as Varosky's MC. You know? And then when I came to YFM, people knew me as, the guy that does the show with DJ Mike Smith, because I did Global Citizen with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people that will come to From Back and think that I'm ADDJ's MC, right? So I was proud of that.
Right.
That I could have multiple people thinking I'm the MC for multiple DJs that were all so elite. So I wanted to keep that going. I didn't want to like create another thing where I was tied to another DJ. Mm-hmm. But then the thing that changed my mind was the party pressure thing we're doing, which I used to be the host of. Okay. But that's around the time I was pushed to host the drive. Mm-hmm. So we were just doing an hour set. We recorded it in Loft House. And because I was hesitant to do it, he didn't tell me anything. When we're done, he just, before I left, he was like, so I recorded it. So when I put it up, he do a share for me. And okay. I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, oh yeah. And I was like, you know what? That's very smart. If it gets a lot of good engagement, we'll do it.
We'll do it again.
So I think when it came up, like, and I was putting out Playhouse Mix already.
Right.
So I knew the numbers to compare it to. Mm-hmm. And this one was flying faster.
It was flying faster, yeah. Faster.
And this was on radio, so we're not using the F word. We're not saying anything like that. We're so keeping so it very clean.
Yeah.
And I think even Audio Mac took it off. But it did well. Mm-hmm. And then that's when we actually birthed, sat down and agreed on the name after that mix went far because we just called it Listen Back to Party Pressure with DJ Loft and
Okay.
But after that, we had to have a meeting. That was one of the funniest conversations around finding the name Caps and Bass.
Oh, okay.
Because I was supposed to be the cap and he's the bass. But then Loft was like, let's do microphone and speaker or bass. And I was like, but then that's why my copywriting skills came in. I was like,
exactly.
No, we always hold the cup. So cup.
No, but you think, and I think copywriting actually does help with like hosting because we are always playing with words. So yeah. Also, Loft is so cool. Funny thing, he's
one of the funniest people, but yes, people don't know.
I used to be on a podcast with Loft, official Kwame's podcast called Plantain Chips.
Oh my days.
With Black Sherry's manager, Aubrey.
Why did you guys stop doing that?
It wasn't ours, it's Kwame, you know. And you know, Kwame was in and out
of
Ghana.
If I see him for town, I'll go fight
him. Yeah, but it's so crazy. That's I keep saying, like, all the people that are doing well so right now, we've all been here back then. So it was Loft, Kwame, me, and Aubrey. And Loft was always so funny when we're filming together back then.
Always.
So you've now won MC Hype Man of the Year 4 times in a row.
Four times. Okay. I think that was a mistake with somebody trying to run a story. But it was too late to retract because I told them that, oh, it's not now 4 times
be,
in a row.
Now when I read some of these things, I'm going to be like, huh, what if they made a mistake? Yeah. No, but you've won it 4 times. Like
4 times. So it was... So let me give you the round. So people know that it hasn't been easy.
Okay.
The first time I was ever nominated was 2017.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a long time ago.
Yeah. Nobody mind me. When I deposit the thing, vote for me, self, Charlie. Nobody mind me.
Also, so you... Oh, my goodness. Manuel can send a broadcast. Oh, my God. And the way he writes it, you think he's talking to you. It's because I'm in the entertainment business that I know you're not talking to me now. But first...
There are people that don't open my... Like, if I send them messages... I have to mention a name, Joseph. This is not a BC.
Oh.
How are you? And I have to say something funny for them to be like, okay, okay. I have to mention that. If not, they don't go.
Oh, maybe I read it, but I know that it's a BC.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Okay, so 2017 first nomination.
2018 second nomination. Mm-hmm. Didn't win. And I won 2019.
Okay, for the first time. One.
Nominated 2020, did not win. Mm-hmm. 2021, did not win.
Okay.
2022, then I won. 2023, I won again.
Okay.
And now 2024 again.
Okay, so there was a gap between the first and then the second, third. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. No, but that's really impressive. Because honestly, and it's not because you're sitting here. Honestly, when they asked me to mention MCs, I don't know a lot.
Well,
I don't know a lot. I feel like maybe because I've also known you from like nightlife, so maybe your name is right here.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't know. Oh, yeah. There's also, there's another Sheldon.
Apart from...
The one with the locks. You went to culture.
But no, why do you say another Sheldon? Because it's the only Sheldon. Kojo Sheldon is...
You know what just happened right now.
Kojo Sheldon is not that.
I thought you were... Instead of saying Kojo Mano in my mind, I was like, I'm here with Kojo Sheldon.
See, you lost that.
Anyway.
Sheldon, turn up, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I know there are other ones, but I think you're doing well. I mean, you were the one on Global Citizen, so...
Oh.
I mean, yeah. But
you see how I take that compliment.
I know, right? I know that's I'm not lingering too because I'm like, but I'm moving on. December is coming, and I know this is your cocoa season.
Mm.
Yeah, honestly, if you're friends with Manuel, is this like from ending of third quarter? I have to be nice to him. Be really nice to him because me and Ka, by December because I'll
people,
be getting
people are but then they become mean in the first quarter of the year
and because and what's
forget,
use you
forget
have.
That the year will end.
Because think about it, like free tickets to events and things like that.
Oh, free. There are people that I just mentioned their name in the mix just so that wherever the mix is played, they can brag that, yes, that is my name they just mentioned.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I see.
That's become its own currency.
I see.
You understand? Yeah.
Can you imagine that, guys? But what three things do you love the most about Accra's nightlife?
I don't know why the first thing that came to my head is controversial. But Teeth. But you see, something that really bothers me is when foreigners come and they, and then we're like, oh, is this your first time in Ghana? And they're like, yeah. They're like, oh, what do you love about Ghana? And they say the vibe and the people. Uh-huh. I think we should all be very offended when we hear that.
Why?
And I'm not even blaming them. But it shows how undeveloped we are.
What?
Because
really?
Nobody has ever said infrastructure.
Yeah, but the infrastructure is shit.
Nobody has. It's sometimes it's a thing that people don't say.
And you tell me that you like the infrastructure, I know you're bullshitting me.
But then why is it
open
that?
Gutters.
So it means that we have nothing
that?
Else going for us. So because they
no,
always say the vibe
and the
people.
Is a good thing.
No, I'm
you
not
know
saying
that people,
I'm not.
People think people in Paris are not very nice. They have nice infrastructure, but I would take niceness over.
No, you see, when you go to Europe, then you realize what development is.
Uh-huh.
Development also means that people mind their business because everybody has something going for them.
Touché.
And then we think that means we are not nice. When people are nice to you, it's because they want something small.
Something from you. Oh
people, someone
God.
Will see you getting into your car and then, Kojomano, are you mad? Bossu.
Chairman.
Oh, make a clear. He go clear the people or just because you forgive him something.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then it's like, oh, about you, what's up? It's Yawa.
Wow.
So me, I'm not saying it's a bad thing that we're nice people. I'm just saying that if we keep hearing that as the only positive people are taking from visiting us, it means that we are doing a lot of things wrong. Because this is God-given. The vibe and
the
who
vibe
we are
is easy. It comes from
us. It's God-given. God has just blessed us. But apart from that, we haven't done anything
how
for
much
ourselves.
Of, how much of the infrastructure development is in our hands? Anyway, so
okay,
so three
things
you love about nightlife. Oh my God, you just had a whole deep conversation.
So I think what I like the most about nightlife is the kind of faces you constantly see.
Oh, okay.
And it can give you that false sense of friendship with people that you don't even know anything. I don't know why I'm pulling my words. Am I allowed to say the F word and all of
oh,
that?
Oh, yes. Plus, it's not live, so. if you see there's people that you see that you befriend.
There are people that in my head, mm-hmm. I'm friends with.
Okay.
Like in my head, you are my friend, but
oh,
we don't
yeah.
talk.
We don't talk.
Yeah, but
when we see each other at events,
yes.
yeah, because so, like we actually the Axe event, like we're hanging around each other,
yeah,
and that's important because yeah. for somebody like me, I don't think I'm Ghanaian popular like that. So when I go to some of these things, a lot of people don't come.
They'll do that thing like. He looks familiar. You're hanging on.
Well, people don't come and really talk to me. So if I see you there, I'll come and talk to you because, I've been seeing you since Seraglio.
Yeah, Seraglio days, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, I like that fact that we have that thing where we have a whole community. I have people that I think of as friends.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't meet in town in a month, nobody's finding anybody's number to
me.
Call.
Yeah.
No, we don't do that. By the minute we meet, we're having
vibes.
Full 30-minute conversations.
Yeah.
I think I love that. Also, I'm happy that the nightlife space has grown because I feel like it contributes to what my brand has become. Because if probably Accra wasn't that hotspot it has become, maybe the impact of Kojo Manuel or MCs or Hype Men would not get to that
same,
point.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that we're on that trajectory where people are listening to us amongst the Ibiza, and then Dubai and
really?
Go Joburg. Accra. No, it's a big deal for people.
Who
and
is comparing Accra to Joburg? I'm sorry.
No, because I mean,
just got back from Joburg.
I mean,
I just
until
want to
you,
say,
I mean, until you get here.
Okay. Because there's a lot of gap. I'm sorry.
Yeah, until you get here, it just sounds like, you know, we are all kings and we're all princes and there's free food for the ladies when they go to the restaurant.
Oh my goodness.
And things like
please.
That, you know? It's all perception. So I love it. I think it contributes a lot.
Okay.
And then I also think that I think one of my favorite things is like about nightlife is it affords me the peace I actually want.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a paradox. It's like because nightlife is actually I understand that it's not for everybody.
Uh-huh.
The ordinary Ghanaian is not necessarily a nightlife person. They will probably go out once a week.
Once
a while. Some people go even like outside like once a month or 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But then the consistent people that know who Josephine T is, who Kojo Manuel is, who Sheldon is, who ADDJ, DJ Milzy is.
Mm-hmm.
Those people, we are like a community.
Yeah.
And it's not that big and it's not that crazy, but we are loud. That we carry the message.
True.
So what that affords me is that I can, no matter how popular you are in the nightlife space, you can walk around and not everybody will notice that whole negativity of... you are famous,
It's true, I agree.
Yeah, because if I step out on a Friday night, I'm ready to give a lot of goza, are you mad? But when I'm going to YFM on like Monday afternoon or Tuesday afternoon, I meet one or two people.
Yeah. Well, if you walk through the mall, nobody's stopping you people. And saying,
half the time, people look at you and be like, is that him? Is that him?
True.
Or they don't even meet people that haven't even heard Kojo Manor before.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, thank God. Nice to meet you.
I get it.
Because at least you're not judging me that I'm some kobolo.
Yeah, like, that's the tag. You're wearing slippers and you're walking here. Aren't you supposed to have more money? And you know what I mean?
I need my peace of mind, Charlie.
But before my next question, how did Are You Mad come about?
It was an accident. Coming from an agency background, working with brands like Guinness, ECG account, there was a point where people were insulting ECG account. I was the one behind it.
You were managing ECG?
Yeah, I was part of we were two people were in Echo House that managed the creation of the ECG official account that exists right now. So around those times, you know, I was very like that side of me. I'm tired. I think I just struck off with the question you asked right now.
Are you mad?
Are you mad? My goodness. Why did I go and start today? Okay.
Yeah, you said you came from copywriting or something.
Okay, so that's why I was challenging my breath. I didn't sleep because of you.
Hey.
I slept like 2 or 3 hours. Put this in.
You didn't sleep because you went to work. It's not about me.
Well, true.
Okay.
So I because of the copywriting, I experienced and my experience with agencies and stuff, if anybody left it up to me, pick a term you'd be known by, there's no way I was picking Are You Mad?
But how did it happen?
So it happened by accident. I actually fought it because it was front back. We're having back to back DJ sets, AD DJ, a couple of the foreign DJs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't always have a very good night with the music.
Mm.
But that night, everybody was on point. Everybody was doing crazy catcher. People were going insane. And it got to a point that I was running out of words to use to describe because I was hyping over like 4 different sets. I'd been on the mic for about 4 or 5 hours.
Uh-huh.
At the point, you have said, yo, that was crazy. Yo, that was mad. Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. Oh, this. You got to a point where you don't know what to say again. Uh-huh. I got to a point where I was even saying DJ Breezy's tagline, you are fool for this one.
Yeah.
Because the DJ did something. And after that, so I always give props to him that he sort of was the idea that led to Are You Mad? Because when I said you are fool for this one, and the DJ did another catchy, I was speechless and just were like, are you mad?
Okay.
And I don't know if my accent was faked enough to, you know, reach the UK standard. But then there were a couple of UK boys at front back that heard it. And because it's already sort of a slang there, they assumed, one of our own is on the mic.
It's on the mic. Oh, okay.
So they rushed to the DJ booth and started shouting, are you mad? Picture me not knowing anything about what's going on. I just said, are you mad? And then suddenly we are mobbed by a lot of UK boys shouting, are you mad?
Yeah.
So I just humored them and then we did, are you mad?
Are you
and
mad?
It was intense. It was fun. But after that, a couple of days later, it was December. So a couple of days later, back Monday or Tuesday, doesn't matter. You just come back after like, I think 2 days. And I get to the entrance and from the girls at the door to the bouncers, to the waiters, to the cleaners, everybody will see me.
Are
you mad?
Are you mad?
I was like, what's going on? And I fought it for, let's say, a couple of weeks. A couple of weeks where I would go to front back, people would say, are you mad? And I would ignore
you mind them.
And then people started to get notorious and snatch the mic from my hand and shout, say, are you mad?
Oh, okay.
So I got to a point where I realized that I could not fight it and I've been identified with it. And that was it. I had to allow it. And now I have t-shirts and, you know, merch and all of that with it.
Come on. All right. Okay, but the last but one question. What 2 things do you wish were better about nightlife?
Oh, 2 things that were better about nightlife.
Like me, I'll tell you, I've been to Lagos, I've been to Joburg, I've been to Cape Town, I've been to Europe. I think that our bouncers give us such a tough time at the entrance of establishments. Because in Joburg, they hold guns. They hold like full-on guns.
Yeah.
But they don't stress you. Like, you will come in.
True. It's a little scary, but the approach is not scary. I don't know if that makes sense. But I think for me, It's really the pay, the money that we are, the value we put on creatives.
Okay.
I think that's like the major thing because you're also an MC, so you know what I'm saying.
I know.
You get a gig and they tell you that, you say your rate and they're like, Oh, to MCO.
You are just talking.
You know, it's just to MC this one cry 2 hours per. And I'm like, I don't know if you can stand in front of people and talk and be flawless and be on point and identify the mood of the people, not say the wrong thing. Because if as an MC you say, let me give an example. Let's say on Global Citizen stage, the president, the current president, came to speak.
Which he did.
Which he did. And whatever happened, happened, right? Imagine I came on stage and I said F.
Yes.
Him.
Yes.
Do you know that no matter what performance Sarah Cordier or Stormzy or Usher did or SZA did, this would be one of the headlines and would have marred everything.
Yes.
So people don't understand the power that you're giving someone to moderate your events.
Events, yes.
So when a person has a charge they go with, I think... is the ecosystem is also a problem because the economy itself is not really that good. But I think the perception-wise, we put a very little value
on
creatives as a whole.
Generally speaking, I've realized that thing.
Yeah.
They always try to belittle it and say, oh, it's just this, it's just that. And I always say, when you go to the hospital and they give you how much a surgery is going to cost, nobody ever bargains.
You understand?
They know they have to get the money.
Exactly.
But when it comes to creatives, it's like, oh...
yeah.
Ooh, try picture keke. Ooh, yes, it's
and I think to both points would have to do with money in a way. No, because the other one is something that touches my heart on a whole different level.
Which is what?
So if we are booking Josephine T as the MC, we are willing to pay Josephine T 1,000 cedis.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are booking some lesser known MC who happens to be in the US or the UK. Or Amsterdam or somewhere else.
Okay.
They're willing to pay the person $1,000.
Because what's not playing so well?
Then pay for the person's ticket. That one, all those things are extra. That is the benefit of we being here and I can pick Trotro, I can drive to the place. But if you're willing to pay someone 1,000 cedis versus $1,000, it's a little crazy. And half the time, these people come through and they don't understand our vibe very well. But I think Ghanaians, so we end up having to call back on our usual faces and suspects to come and save the night. And what's even worse is that, you know, when we have to come back and do that work, and no matter how much effort you have put in your brand, like where you started from, to Cecilia Carr, like the popularity and the effort, because you have a 9 to 5 and you're doing your work and you're doing all of these things. At a point, your experience means nothing to people. Because to them, there's this guy that started emceeing last week that can speak.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph can also speak. Manuel can also speak. So our budget for them is 500 cedis.
Yeah.
You know, they are not putting into consideration
the social currency you have of having done this for a long time.
The experience and then what is the value of it. Because you bring a certain influence or value to the event and people don't care about that. So... oh, if you won't take the 500, then let me go and take this guy who doesn't have experience. And it's good to help these people out, but on some stages, they just don't want to pay the money. But if you had a foreign person coming in, we're willing to like, oh, you will switch them to dollar or pounds and pay the person.
Because I mean, we always put a lot more value on Brony, you know what I mean? So
even our music self, if Afrobeats, listen, I'll say it, whether people like it or not, come and fight. If Afrobeats was being championed by Ghanaians, we would have been dead by now.
Of course.
We are only chasing Afrobeats because Nigerians are doing it better.
Yeah. And we always jump on things after the world recognizes it to be dope.
Yeah.
We can be doing, have people doing stuff here. You don't care. When the world recognizes it to be dope, then all of a sudden we know that it's dope.
A lot of our hottest artists from Jackie to Black Sharif, Kiddy, their music... and they became big because we heard that, oh, Kiddy is big, is big in India.
India.
Jackie's song blew for Niger.
Yeah.
Or Black Sharif Day on a song with this person or that person. And then suddenly we are forced to accept it. If Black Sharif didn't do what he did and move the way he moved, people would still tell Black Sharif that his style is whack.
Yeah, they'll even say that, what kind of music is
it? Is it like, is it hip hop? Is it Afrobeat? Yeah. What are you doing? What? But you see, the end justifies the means. So we don't believe in our creatives enough to push them to that point.
Okay. So I wanted to end with this question. You've been around the world. You've experienced nightlife in different places.
Before I go on to that, when I spoke about Playhouse.
Okay.
I should have added, make you edit and put
I actually for forgot. You also have the show called Play By Ear on Aquaba Magic. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
I think it was... since you brought that up.
Yeah.
So I was really excited when I got the call to as one of the hosts that was being considered
for that show.
And I've always wanted to do TV.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, it never really worked out. I've worked with Foresight in the past and tried to get into other TV stations, but it never really worked. Radio worked at least. But then to get a call from Aquaba Magic or a team that works with Terra Media, I was like really excited. And then we did an episode, a whole season. And based on the knowledge or information I've been given, it's one of the best performing shows on Aquaba Magic. Okay. Because majority is the drama. But when you move out of the drama space, it's one of the most, one of the best performing
shows.
Yeah,
because I think it's the most, it's different. Aquaba Magic has a lot of like series and stuff
Like that. Yeah, and I think for somebody coming off of just being an MC or a hype man to host primetime radio on YFM and have a show on Aquaba Magic on DSTV.
Please don't belittle
That's mad.
That's what's giving you the experience to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think you wanted to talk about something.
Yeah. So the Playhouse thing that we had, I had before we did Caps and Bass is what I'm bringing back.
Okay.
In the form of an event to start December. But I'm sure by the time this is airing, we'd have done it though.
When is it happening?
It's 1st December.
Oh, yeah.
It's
anyway,
December.
If you're listening to this, you missed it.
It was crazy, you know.
Oh yeah, this just like.
But then we plan to do it more often. It's not going to be like the only December thing. We do it maybe every month or every 2 months or something like that. So
people should. Oh, that's really cool. Come on, this is to starting your own events as well, and
I had Casa Loco, but that's more of a club thing. This is Playhouse. This is a DJ exhibition thing. I have DJ Varowski, DJ Lord. F the DJ and Dow, the Max
so
DJ.
Hard. I'm very, very,
you know, happy. And I have a song out as well.
Asem, with EL.
Yeah,
I heard it yesterday actually. So guys, check that one out as well.
Yeah,
no, but Akujima, no, you're doing really amazing. And as a creative in this country, I completely understand if you think that, you know, you are not where you are supposed to be. I get it.
Yeah,
the economy is some way. The mindset of the people is some way, because at the end of the day, with all that you do, like you said, there's certain settings that they'll be like, oh, you're hype man, and also you're dead. You know what I mean?
I went for an interview where they asked me what is hype man. I was just there like, wow. And it was a tree station too.
I know.
So how to explain that in tree was a problem.
Me na perform by me, you did the more. No, but I just wanted to, you know, say that just keep pushing. Because one thing that someone told me, and I know you've probably heard this before, is like, you never know who's watching and who's listening.
Yeah.
The same way like people were advocating for you for Global Citizen is the same way that some other big thing is going to come and you never know. So just keep creating, keep pushing. And
I have to say this wherever I go, that the Wizkid concert where I ended up on stage, I think that's one of the most heartwarming things happened after. Because when people were coming for me, a lot of people I had no relationship with were just defending me
you.
On a timeline. And I was trending along with Skid, and I was just there like, wow, this is one of those moments where, so the app, Twitter, the app, I don't think I can ever get off it, because I feel like there are a lot of people, Ghanaians there, that genuinely supported me.
Yeah,
like without having any personal interaction with me, and I think that's really dope.
That's one of the best things. Like when people are fighting for you online like that,
because I had the whole statement and everything. I couldn't even post it.
Me, I don't want to talk about it because I was there and I was very upset. But
I'm vexed past you.
Because
imagine when you ask and they say, "Oh, he's coming," at the point, I had to just had to hit me that it's not gonna happen.
Me, when I saw them packing the equipment, I said, "Wow, that's been a great time."
Yeah.
But anyway, guys, also soon we've come to the end of this interview. Thank you so much, Kujimano, for passing.
Before
through.
I go,
yeah, sure.
When I say Ghana Baku, you say Asembebre. Kotoka Baku.
Is it also Asembebre?
No, Nipa Bebre.
Nipa Bebre. Ah!
Yeah. Dollar Baku.
CD Bebre.
That's my thing. But next year, you'll be the Sika Bebre.
Amen. Amen. All right, guys, where can people find you?
Yeah.
Your social media.
Okay, so it's KOJOMANUEL, Kojo Manuel, on all platforms. I think Snap is the only place that has a dot between the Kojo and the Manuel. But on YouTube, it's a mad network.
You have the Mile 7 podcast.
Yeah, we also have the Mad Culture podcast itself as well. And I've been running all of these things, you know.
Yeah, I see everything. When time is it? I say, Kojo Manuel is doing yet another thing.
But depending on when this airs, I'm sure Playhouse would have happened already on 1st December. But there's going to be a Caps and Bass event at Garage on the 19th of December. 19th.
Okay, it might come out before then. So,
yeah, 19th. And there's another one on the 26th.
Okay. Of December. Are these ticketed?
These are all, as of now, I can't really tell.
Okay.
To be very, very honest, okay. I can't really tell. I don't want to say the wrong
thing. If you are listening to this and it's coming out before, just go to his page and I'm sure by then the decision would have been made about how much it is. Yeah.
So 1st December, 19th December and 26th December. Okay. Playhouse and Caps and Bass, Caps and Bass.
Okay, great. So thank you guys so much for checking in with us. This has been Kojo Manuel. Are you mad?
Are you mad?
Well, the Ghanaians will say, are you mad fame?
But before I go, I still want to say that I really love what you guys do here. I think it's really dope. We need to have more podcasts, more platforms like this. And I like the fact that as much you have this demeanor of, oh yeah, urban, yeah, Pablo, but you are Ghanaians.
Yeah, Pablo.
No, but because that's who we really are. Like you embody a lot of the things that people think and want to say but can't say.
Okay.
Yeah, in a very jovial way. So you hardly ever get people attacking you, do they? But you're saying things that people cannot say.
Let's not bring attention to it before they start attacking me.
Please,
thank you so much, guys. we'll be back to do the shout outs. It's been Sincerely Your Cry, guys.
Give me your name and then your number. We just to hear right, so you go see my crib because it's all hot and all fresh. Girl, I know you feel sick. I'll never make a guy make you feel this real. I can make it wet just like the ocean. Disagree with the notion. Most of the party don't stop. And I'm ready, meet me at the old spot. In a minute, how you do it, don't stop. And I mean it, let me hit the high spot. Till they finish, mommy, I would not make bad. Can't you feel it?
All right, guys, so we're back. And that is our show. Listen, I don't have any shout outs. All my shout outs are going to be to every single one of you amazing sincerities that decide to pull up to our day party. Yes. This is our last episode for the season for 2024. And we're really looking forward to jamming with you guys in 2025. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the support. Thank you for telling somebody about us, sharing us your stories, commenting on everything, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, whatever you have done to contribute to Sincerely Accra. You know, still being here. We're really excited for the next year. We're really happy for you guys as well. Love you all so much. Oh my goodness. Merry Christmas, guys. We've survived 2024 and we really look forward to 2025. And hold your head up, you know, be kind to yourself. You are not your mistakes. You're only human, you know. I'm only human. Sometimes I make mistakes. Makes mistakes. Yeah, yeah. What's life? Yeah. You make mistakes sometimes. But you're not the sum of your mistakes, you know. Pick your head up, dust yourself off, visit the drawing go back and visit the drawing board and let's try again, you know what I mean. Merry Christmas, guys. Love you so much. We'll catch you on the next one. Kwame, let's go.
Chassis business. Business. Yes, business. Shorty say make her wait. 1 hour she go want. 2 hours no be bad. 3 hours she go love. She dey play my violin. When I'm sardine. Hey. We know they please nobody. We dey please on herself. On a 1 minute boys. Yaba, yaba, yaba. Messi yaba, 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 yaba. Messi yaba, 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 yaba. Messi yaba, 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 yaba. Messi yaba.
Baby, yeah. Baby, I'm coming.
me I'm a down son of Kokun. Little man with an son. I pet me down, name me, I'm oh, free me, I don't conchen. If you know they be me. Men feel like they feel me. You want make a do things, make a do things. Oh, free me, a Scooby. We they come when we come. We are done when we done. We know they care if you come. You should come if you want. I better me to I don't go. Minji I don't go, for I don't go. What is I don't go, they I don't know. What is I don't go, they no, yaba. Yaba, yaba, missy yaba. Yaba, 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 missy yaba. Yaba, 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 missy yaba. Yaba, yaba,
yes,
yaba, missy yaba.
Yeah. Yeah, no the libido don't know. Nah. As a guy, I put you in the dono. Huh? Send a me and Pana be Filippo. No.
Yes.
And then, yeah, nothing, Mr. Gono. So much shame, and then the China meda.
Nah.
Forget to go on one, I want Badipa. And Mano see me soon as I'm a mother. Yes. I see for goodness, if they're never paper. Ah, when I got again, and I'm a film pack, yeah. Tell again, the good and I'm a shack tag, yeah. I see for my no one, and I watch that, yeah. I pass a year, I get my do for chair.
Yes.
So I want to make out what's a dad dead bow. The cow and I am such a dad dead mo. I sound for no man, come up on per mo. So one more, some per mo. One of me, ah. About the DNA, I wear a tacoom. About a whole folk with a title. Mr. G. Lady Wood, I was say, I do. I wind name a croak with a Bible.
Yes.
I don't go. What do you mean? What me think? Oh, boom, get. Someone even said, I get them. I'm a filly and come on. How much do you have? Cry me a no more there. Cry me a no more there. Cry me a no more
there. Should he say, make her wait? 1 hour she go want,
sir.
2 hours no be bad. 3 hours she go love. She dey play my violin, violin.
Shen.
When I'm sad in.
Hey.
We know they please nobody. We dey please on herself. On a 1 minute boys. Yaba, yaba, yaba. Missy yaba, 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 yaba. Missy yaba, 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 yaba. Missy yaba, 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 yaba. Missy yaba.
Kwame Enumude.
This has been a Gold Coast Report production.